Well, I had the distinct honor of having about 13 seconds to get to know Daryl just a moment before he came up here, but his publicist did send me some documents to embarrass him with, so we'll start out that way. What about? Yes. Drafted number one in 1980 Major League Baseball draft. His distinctive batting style with a high leg kick. As you can see, this is actually his silhouette. They actually cut it out and made it for him. So anyway, he rose through the Mets system in just 3 years in his rookie year in 1983, posting 26 home runs, 7 triples, 74 RBIs en route to being named the National League Rookie of the Year. Daryl Strawberry is described as a legend by many who have been dazzled by his dynamic game. The power he possessed at the plate, he's earned the legendary nicknames. These have got to be just priceless in your, I love these. In the phrase of most feared home run hitters in the game, Straw's sweet swing, Strawberry's field forever, and this legendary Straw Man, I don't know. 4 World Series titles, 8 National League All-Star appearances, 1983 National League Rookie of the Year, 2-time National League Silver Slugger Award, 21 home run seasons, 3 30-run home run seasons. He's played for the Mets, which he started with. Oh, no booing, no booing. You're in a Phillies crowd, I'm sorry. Dodgers. And in 1996, Strawberry signed with the New York Yankees, spending 5 seasons in pinstripes, winning the World Series title in 96, 98, and 99. But when I sat down with him and told him I was going to embarrass him and read some of this stuff off, you know what he said to me? He says, "That's nice, but this is what matters," as he patted his Bible. So let me finish this way. All that's great, but Daryl's story of God's redemption is what brings him to us tonight. These days, Daryl's purpose and passion is serving the Lord Jesus Christ by speaking a message of hope and helping others transform their lives through the power of the gospel. Please welcome Daryl Strawberry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, guys and brothers, for being here tonight. You're in the right place. Oh, y'all missed that. You're in the right place. It wasn't about taking me out to the ball game. It was about the worship of Jesus. When you come to a retreat like this, you need to open your heart. Get your head out of the way and open your heart to Jesus. This is where you find Jesus. This is where you become a man. When you let your guard down, open your heart to Jesus and let Jesus be Lord over your life. A lot of older guys in here, just like me, I'm 56. Time to get moving. What you doing? Time is running out. You got to be on God's plan. You can't be on this earthly plan here. You got to be on what God's plan is. It's that time. God's telling some of you, come back home. This weekend should be your weekend of coming back home. Surrendering. Surrendering to earthly things and connecting to kingdom things. Kingdom things are greater than earthly things. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this night. Father, we thank you for this weekend as we gather as men. May we surrender ourselves, lay down our life and pick up our cross. May we carry it daily, Father, to do great work. May we run the race and finish the race. May we share the love of Jesus to others. And may they come to know your Son in such a way that they're able to do the great things that you have called them to do. Remove ourselves. We rebuke the devourer right now. Satan, you have no authority over no one in this room tonight. Let him go right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done on the cross, how you shedded your blood for sinners like us, that we may have life and may have it more abundantly. Tonight, Holy Spirit, speak. Do what only you can do. Not what man can do, but what you can do. changed their hearts. Somebody came here this weekend not knowing if they were going to still stay in their relationships. Someone's come here with a heavy heart, burdens. Father, speak this weekend to them that they can understand. You the great I am. You the physician. You the doctor. You the lawyer. You the healer of all things. And we bless you, honor you, and praise you. As we send this petition up to you, Father, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I thank God, gentlemen, because I wasn't always like this. I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was a womanizer. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was rich. I was famous, been privileged. I was a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Grace is something that I don't deserve, but he gives it to you anyway. When you understand God's grace and understand God's plan for your life, then you're able to enter into what God has for you. See, I wasn't always this guy that knew how to pray and knew how to stand up in front of people and speak, because I'm not qualified to do it, but the Holy Spirit is qualified. See, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. When we decide to give our life over to him, then he is able to do what he needs to do through you. You become a vessel and you allow God to do what he needs to do through you. See, brokenness is real. See, most people saw me and they just saw me playing baseball. They don't understand where I came from. You know, my father was an alcoholic and he came home for the last time and pulled out a shotgun when I was 14 years old, said he was going to kill the whole family. Me and my brothers went into action. Had it not been for my mom, we would have killed him. See, it should have been a tragedy. It could have been a tragedy in my life before I ever put the uniform on. See, I was already scarred before I ever put the uniform on. Issues, brokenness is real. Rejection is real. And so many of us have it and we never deal with it. We just push it to the side, sweep it under the rug. That's what happened to me for so many years. I just swept it under the rug and went out and acted like a heathen. What a heathen would do because he's broken. What a sinner would do because he's lost. And that's what we do. But there's a great one. And he's alive. And he's the healer, and he's the one that could change everything about our life. But it has to be a process. It's not an overnight miracle. See, I'm not an overnight miracle. I had to go through what I had to go through. Sometimes you got to go through to get to where God's trying to get you. See, I shouldn't be here after my father beat me and told me I was nothing. I went on to play Major League Baseball and become a rich, famous all-star, but I was still broken, running around the bases, hitting home runs. Empty. Living behind the community gates, privileged all my life. Empty. See, money's not going to save you. All it's going to do is buy more stuff. And you accumulate more stuff and you keep looking at more stuff and you wonder why I'm not well. Because, see, you have to have a transformation. The Romans 12:2 that they was talked about it, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the renewing of your mind of God's word that transforms you and changes you. Nothing else will ever change you. Success, money, fame, fortune, none of it will ever change you on the inside. It'll keep you looking for more and more to be well. See, no one can change you but Jesus himself. And it's not until you commit to Jesus to be able to have that transformation. See, salvation. See, I think a lot of times as men, we don't understand salvation. You know, we think we can pay our way to get salvation and get victory. Salvation is a free gift from God to you and to me. It's free. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, not man, the Lord Jesus, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, the transformation came over my life because of my brokenness and the emptiness and the lifestyle and the rich and the fame and the drugs and ended up in a Florida State prison with a T17169 and had cancer twice and lost my left kidney in my second surgery. See, God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. No matter how many times you fall, God has always got a plan. But it's those that can come to a place and confess. See, my father rejected me and left me empty, left me broken. And then I ended up keeping him out of my life and my whole career. And I hated him and I never talked to him. And then God, I went through hell throughout my career and the public eyes and everything. And then God comes into my life and changed me. And 5 years ago, God sends me to the hospital where my father's in the hospital. And he says, you go down to the hospital and you repent to your father. He says, how dare you not forgive him and I forgave you? Yeah. But see, it comes to a place where a man must obey God. If you don't obey him, you can never live out the biblical promises that are in this book. It's not until we obey God. He didn't say be perfect. None of us are perfect. We all will fall short. It didn't say, the Bible don't say some of us will fall short. It says we all will fall short. But he says, pick yourself up after you fall down. Pick yourself up. So I go down and repent to my father and ask him to forgive me. I lay in his lap and I cry and I lose it. I just lost it. I asked him to forgive me for keeping him out of my whole career. Would you forgive me? I said, the Lord has changed me. He said, yes. He was crying too and I was crying. I was just laying in his lap, sobbing. And the Lord said, raise up. And I raise up, and the Lord says, now lead him to me. There was a man that beat me, rejected me. I was leading him in the center prayer to the Lord. And you know what God told me? Don't you ever forget this. It's never about you. So many of us be thinking it's about us, and we holding somebody else hostage. And you know what the Lord told me in the midst of that with my father? He said that forgiveness was not for him. That forgiveness was for me. See, I could never get free because I never let him loose. I never cut him loose. And some of you here today got some people in hostages in your life. You need to let them go. Let them loose so you can get free. Because see, I got free immediately. As soon as I asked my father to forgive me and I repented to him, God set me free immediately. A weight came off of me like I never could ever imagine. And me and my brother was riding back home and I was just crying, crying, crying. And the Lord says, you're free now. See, we have to understand his salvation, not the salvation we want. We have to understand the salvation that he gives to us to set us free. See, he gives us salvation to set us free. See, I didn't get like this overnight because, see, most people don't understand when, you know, my wife Tracy was 16 years ago, she was pulling me out of dope houses in South Florida. I was shooting dope and smoking crack. I was $3 million in debt. And I says, why don't you just leave me here and let me die, you and God? And she said, you're just not that lucky. Little did I know that God had a plan all along. Little do you know that God has a plan in your life. For you that's here tonight, this weekend, God has a plan. He brought speakers in to speak to you. See, you need to shut down your mind and let God speak to your heart. Because he's trying to get something to you. If you know, those that ever get to the place to start listening to God and obeying his commandments, now you start getting to where God wants you to get. See, Christians should have victory, but they're not having victory because they're not following the biblical principles. They're following the worldly principles. They're following the stock market. They're thinking all these things are going to make them well. It's not going to make you well. It will never make you well. Heaven and earth going to pass away, but not my word. He's going to always get somebody to preach his word. He's going to always pour a spirit down on somebody to preach his word. See, I'm not qualified to do it. I finally got rid of the ego. If you can get rid of your ego, a three-letter word, ego, ego, men. Men have ego, big egos, easing God out. That's what the ego is. Makes me play God myself. Because we got issues, we got struggles, and we got things to overcome. But if I confess with my mouth that the Lord Jesus, not anything else, but if I can get to the place to confess it, that the Lord Jesus, and then it talks about at the end of that, it says, you know, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is the good news. So many of us don't understand salvation, and we don't walk the abundant life that God talks about because we don't understand his salvation is great and is made for us to live an abundant life. And we miss it because we don't walk in it. We think the earthly things are more better than the kingdom thing. Matthew 6:33, he says, "And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added into you." He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added." God has got so much more to give to us when we decide to seek him in spirit and in truth. Not in our talking, but in our ways of living. In a dying society that we're living in today, and we should be walking as kingdom-minded men, and no matter what anybody has to say, they're going to talk about you anyway. They talked about me when I was a heathen. Now they're talking about me because of love of Jesus. They're going to talk about you anyway. Guys, we got to get this. We got to get this. We got to get this together. We got to understand that Satan has a plan. He always has a plan. He had a plan long time ago, Lucifer, when he got kicked out of heaven, and he took like 2/3 or 3/3 of the angels with him when he got kicked out of heaven. He's got a plan. He's got a plan to deceive us, to keep us separated from God so that we don't know God. See, he don't want you to know the word of God. The Bible talks about it. This book talks about it. It says, "My people perish because of lack of knowledge." No understanding of God's word. See, we understand everything. See, I understood everything else. I understood championships. I understood trophies. I understood playing Major League Baseball and winning. I understood sin and being women. I understood all that, but I didn't understand this. It wasn't until I saturated myself with it. It wasn't until I got with God for myself. It wasn't until I turned off the television, turned off the TV, and turned off the cell phone. Now started laying with God, and guess what? God started speaking to me. God is just waiting for you to open up his word so he can speak it and reveal it to you. Most of us don't take enough time. We just read one chapter and once this, and okay, I'm done. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you start calling upon the name of the Lord and start rebuking the devourer over your life and start paying attention to the little details of what's important is how to live a holy life as a man. See, I wasn't raised to live a holy life. My mother lived a holy life. I saw my mama live a holy life. I saw my mother pray for all of us. I saw my mama lay on her face and cry out to God and pray for all her kids. And guess what? She said, "God's going to get it out of you." But what about dads? When are we going to get back to being the head and not the knucklehead? When do we get back to being the head, the position that God had ordained us to be in? And now we get to the place of knowing the biblical principles, and now we can teach the younger generation. We can teach the younger generation will look at us not when we preach, but when we live right and they see God in us. God is calling us back to that. 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek." See, the Israelites could have been in the promised land knowing that they didn't know that Moses had favor with God and Moses walked with meekness. Yes, Moses had an anger problem and he killed Egyptians, but 400 years of slavery, God uses Moses to get them out of bondage, and they sit there and he gets them out and they sit there and complain. Moses is not a good leader. They saw the miracles with their own eyes. Some of you looking at a miracle right in front of you tonight. This is God himself. This is the transformation that God does in a life when you decide to surrender your life to Christ for real and stop straddling that fence and playing this straddle fence game and being a hypocrite and not following the biblical principles. When you follow the biblical principles, God's going to fill you with the promises. See, you become something you don't even know about, and you get to eat from a land that you don't even know about. You get to become a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you have any idea who they are? You get to eat from a different land. Not this earthly land. You get to eat from God's land when you become a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it all comes from this book. Everybody in this book here had problems just like us. Had struggles, had to overcome just like us. They're no different than we are. When you start reading, you start thinking about a Peter who denied Christ three times. He was crucified upside down. Moses had a speech impediment. Then you think about all the different people. You think about David. David put his best man Uriah on the front line to get killed so he could have his wife Bathsheba. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. See, what you got to understand is God love you right where you're at. But do you love him? Do you truly love him? I saw the worship going on, and I always watch worship. I love worship. Because now you see, when in worship, you're entering yourself in with God. And I always look at it when I'm at a men's conference. I see so many of them, and they just standing around. Like they don't know what to do. But you put a song on, they'd be like, yeah, I remember that song. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I'm saying if outside of church, you play a song, they know that song, but they don't know a worship song. See, something's wrong with that. We got that backwards. Because we have those issues that we don't believe he's that God. That Jesus is just a man. No, Jesus is a holy man. When Jesus hung on that cross in Calvary, and Roman Empire had no idea who he was, just like most of us. We don't have no idea who he is until you get in a relationship with him. And then he said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? But his last words on that cross was, it is finished. He hung on that cross. He shed his blood. That blood is clean. See, what we don't understand, one man brought sin in Adam. One man brought grace in for all. Jesus brought grace in for every last one of us. See, I didn't get like this overnight. It wasn't an overnight miracle. When God called me and my wife pulled me out of dope houses 15, 16 years ago, I think something like that. It's been so long. I'm so grateful. God will use anybody to get your attention. And he used a woman to get my attention. The same ones I was sleeping with that didn't belong to me and I wasn't married to them. He used the one that he had called for me. And then he made me walk away from her for 6 months. Didn't know if we were going to be together. Sent me on the journey by myself and told me to saturate myself in the word and lay with him. 6 months later, I went with him and repented, asked him to forgive me. 6 months later, he sends me back to marry her. He starts me on the journey with her. I'm $3 million in debt, didn't have a driver's license. God's got a great sense of humor. See, God's not, he wasn't concerned about what he could get to me. He wasn't concerned about what I had. He was concerned was all going to be well in my soul. And through that process, he sat me and made me get discipled. See, sitting is a good thing. See, a lot of us won't sit because we're impatient. But sitting was a good thing. God didn't just sit me for 6 months. God sat me for 7 years. 7 years God did not speak to me. And he made me sit in the back of the church and get discipled and grow. Because one thing I do know about God, if you don't grow, the enemy's going to destroy you. Because you have nothing to fight him with. You can't beat the enemy with just your natural saying, oh, it's Jesus. See, because we don't know who Jesus is most of the time. No, Jesus, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. By his stripes, you get to be healed. He's the great I am. He's not just Jesus. He's more than you can ever imagine. He's not like us. He's the Messiah. He is coming back one day to get his people. He's not like us. He's not. See, we too busy thinking about Sunday morning, about a football game, and who's going to win the game, and I got to go to the game, and I can't go to church, and we too busy. I can tell you what's going to happen in that football game. Somebody going to win, somebody going to lose. That's what's going to happen in the football game. But if you don't go to church and you don't get in God's word, you're going to miss the great plan that he has for you. See, a lot of us need to get back to understanding. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good. You need to stop eating at Burger King and start eating some steak. You need to start make a commitment to yourself this weekend that I need to change. I need that transformation. I need that Romans 12:2 that he was speaking about. But how do you get that Romans 12:2? How do you change? I got to commit. I don't get to Romans 12:2 if I don't commit. You know, you got to commit. Salvation is not just repairing the original self. It is a new self that is created by God in righteousness and true holiness. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Do not be overcome by evil. What is evil? The foolishness that we talk about from the worldly standpoint. What is good? God's word. This will never change. I talk about all the people that God was using that was all had problems, all had issues. Jonah was a Jewish, and God told him to go to Nineveh to tell him to repent. Jonah jumps on the boat, goes the other way. God throws a storm on. Jonah gets thrown in the belly of a fish for 3 days, 3 nights, and God spits him out, and he eventually goes and tells them to repent because 40 days from now, God's going to destroy this whole city. Guess what? God used one man, Jonah, where 600,000 got saved because they repented. All it takes is one. All it takes is a man to be willing to lay down his life and pick up his cross. And carry his cross for real. A lot of you guys are Philly fans, and you know, I know you know Pastor Randall Cunningham, and he's got a big church down in Las Vegas, and he's a great pastor. And I had lunch with him one day, and he just said, "I just got tired of being a hypocrite. I wasn't gonna be a hypocrite no more. I was gonna follow the principles." When do we get tired of being a hypocrite? Doesn't mean we don't have struggles and issues. But I'm saying, when do we get tired as a man? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow the biblical principle. I'm going to lead my head. No weapon formed against my family shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Not through me, but through Christ. Greater than he. John 4:4. Greater than he that's in me than he that's in the world. The one that lives inside of me. When am I going to follow him? When am I truly going to follow him? That's the challenge for us. That's what this weekend is about. This weekend is not about me, a great baseball player. I was a sinner saved by grace. There's nothing great about me. It's the great one that hung on the cross. See, when I entered in with him and laid with him, he gave me his information. There's a revelation from him that's greater than anything that you will ever read. This is the greatest book I ever picked up. I don't know what took me so long to get it. Some of us keep fooling ourselves and we keep thinking it's something else that's going to make me better. But it's not. And stop trying to be perfect. He's not asking us to be perfect. Well, I'm going to wait until I... No, stop waiting. God is speaking to your heart this weekend. Get connected. Make the connection. It's time that men start making the connection. I tell you what, if this was a woman, ladies' conference, you wouldn't have been able to get enough seats in here to get them in here. They show up to everything. See, and the thing about it, guys, what I'm trying to get us to see is it's time for us to start investing in this here. We want to invest in everything else. Let me tell you something. The greatest return I ever received was investing myself with Jesus. It is the greatest return you will ever receive. You will never get a greater return in an investment. This is the great investment, the greatest investment you will ever receive. Is from God himself. And when you look at so many, and I think about I think about the temptations that we all go through in the society, what we look at and what we see. And some of you get caught up and you get into those internets and you're playing those wrong things. And I think about the temptation. We all have them. We all go through them. But what I think about the temptation, we think, well, I just got tempted. Well, you know what? Jesus got tempted too by the enemy. He was tempted too. Matthew 4:4, the devil said, I'll give you all this. He set him up, I will give you all this. He was in the wilderness, hungry, and he says, I'll give you all this. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is the word of God that we need to learn. The power is in the scriptures of the word of God. You know who I learned that from? He just went home to be with the Lord. When God called me 9 years ago and said, you're going to preach? And I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. He said, oh, yes, you are. Look who wins. He says, go study Billy Graham books. Billy Graham was the greatest evangelist you will ever see to hit the earth. Yeah, yeah. The greatest. Because all Billy Graham did was win souls. We've gotten away from winning souls. We've gotten to a place to just make me feel good and don't get in my stuff. Well, you're never going to get well if you don't get in your stuff. If I don't clean my stuff up, I could never get well. I could never get to the place where I need to be and where God's wanting me to be. If I'm not challenged, if I'm just still sitting there and straddling on the fence and doing what I want to do, now I can't get the victory. See, I could never... Hallelujah. All I ever wanted was the victory. The victory is not by us. The victory, you are overcomer, not by you, are overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Not anything about us. It's the blood of the Lamb. You become overcomer because of what Jesus has already done. 2,000 years ago when he walked the earth, he was doing miracles then, setting people free. Today, he's still doing miracles, setting people free. It's those that enter in, those that confess with their mouth. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Hallelujah. It's that simple to God. See, we're complicated. God is not complicated. We're complicated people. He's already known that we mess up. What am I saying? That I'm not a sinner? No, I'm a sinner. I just don't practice anymore. Because of grace. That's covering me. Grace don't give me the right to sin, but I don't practice what I used to be. Why? Because I fell in love with Jesus. And I build a relationship with him. Just like all of us can build a relationship with God right where you're at. No matter what you've done. I know a lot of you came here and thought, wow, I'm going to hear this guy talk about baseball. I don't even like baseball. When God called me 9 years ago to start preaching, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to ascend upon you. He's going to teach you all things. Study the Bible. He's going to teach you all things if you believe it. Guess what? I was just crazy enough to believe it. Brad and Paul. And look what you get when you believe God. You get God's good. See, when you understand Saul, you would understand Saul, who was an educated man, and he was on his way to Damascus Road to kill Christians. He's killing Christians, Christian killer. You understand him. Everybody looks at Saul, and he gets knocked off the horse. He's blinded for 3 days and three nights. But the greatest hero in that text, when you read that text, was a man by the name of Ananias. See, God looks for heroes that will do what he shows them. Ananias was the hero. Jesus knocked Saul and blinded him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But Ananias was the hero in that text because God gave him a vision to go lay hands on Saul and pray over Saul. And he was thinking, I'm not going to mess with that man, Saul. This man's killing Christians. But he does. And he goes and lays hands over Saul, and Saul gets his sight back, and God goes on to use Saul, and he becomes the Apostle Paul, and he writes over, 13 epistles. because of a man by the name of Ananias, got a vision. All you got to do is get to that place when God gives you that vision to do something, just believe it. I remember when God called me 9 years ago. He says, you have no idea. I had a restaurant business in New York. He says, you have no idea what I'm about to do with you. I was like, I don't want to preach, please. He goes, you have no idea what I'm about to do with you. He says, obey me. He says, you will be preaching in arenas in front of thousands. And guess what? I've been preaching in arenas in front of thousands, just like he said. I said, I'm not qualified. He said, no one is qualified. I'm qualified because I'm God. See, when we get to a place and understand, it's not about me. It's not about a brand. Jesus is the brand. He's the greatest brand that you will ever know. Because see, you got to understand, early Sunday morning, he got up from that tomb. Not only did he get up early Sunday morning, but he got up and he got up with all power in his hand. That tomb is empty. Some of you need to know that Jesus is here. Jesus is here to rescue you from your sinful ways. We all got something. I remember I always wanted to be ashamed because I was worried about what others was going to think about me. Well, they sitting there, they got something too. Because we all got something. But for us to be men and step up and be men, we have to admit that we got shortcomings. Because Jesus is the healer of all things. He's here to deliver you, set you free, set you on your way, position you so you can do the great call that he has for your life, just like my life. See, I'm not educated to do this, but the Holy Spirit is. See, I don't claim to preach. People say, you're going to speak? I said, no, the Lord's going to speak tonight. I don't never take credit for the Lord speaking because the Lord speaks. The three R's. He comes to rescue you. Then he comes to redeem you by his blood. It is his blood that redeems all of us. You can't get redeemed by yourself. You can always go to the car wash and take a shower and get your car washed and take a shower, but you can't redeem yourself on the inside. It's his blood that redeems you. It is his blood that cleanses you, purifies you, liberates you, brings you to wholeness and righteousness, and teach you how to walk with God. Then he comes to restore you with his grace. He's such a good God that he gives us enough time and the opportunity to let him rescue us, redeem us, and restore us with his grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. All you got to do is come and say, Lord, help me. See, I think we got to get to that place where we stop hiding our struggles. A lot of us hide our struggles. We're men. No, we're not supposed to have struggles. Come on, guys. Stop. That's baloney. See, because I'm going to get back. I'm going to get to the book of John and I'm going to close. And you're going to see what the book of John is really about. See, the book of John is about believing. But we got to stop hiding our struggles. Stop trying to please everyone. People are impressed by your success, but they're impacted by your struggles. People are impressed by the success, but they're more impacted by your struggles. Because how did you do it? I couldn't do it by myself. It was Jesus himself. It was me coming to the cross. It was me kneeling myself at the cross. It was me laying on my face with God and crying out to God and telling God, I'm sorry. See, because whatever is killing you, Jesus already killed it at the cross. No matter what it is, he's already killed it. And that's what we need to understand. He's already taken care of what tries to keep us from having a victorious life. And last June, I went to Israel. I spent 16 days in the Holy Land. It was the most incredible place I've ever been. It is holy. Jesus has been all over those grounds. You can feel his presence when you walk in. If you've never been there and you need to experience it, you need to go there for yourself. And you will feel his presence. And I remember getting in the tomb, and I remember my wife in the tomb, and I remember her crying. He just came all over. And I remember walking up the road that he was carrying a cross, and he dropped the cross four times and put his hand into the wall. And I remember walking up that road, and I saw his presence just came all over me. And I just started weeping, you know. Because he's alive. And he's well. And he's here for us to understand that the enemy is here to deceive us and make us believe all these earthly things are important. God wasn't concerned about me hitting home runs and winning championships and all those things. That's not his concern. His concern ain't about me who's going to win the Super Bowl or who's going to win the World Series. His concern is, do you want to be well? That's his concern for all of us. See, because you can't enter into the kingdom. See, I'm going to break it down now to you, the book of John. See, the book of John is about believing. It's about believing. When you get into the book of John, it's about believing. John 3:3, he tells Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee teacher. Nicodemus was a little confused. How can one go back and be born again? He wasn't talking about the first birth, which is the natural birth. He was talking about the second birth, which is the spiritual birth. See, we all hear it because of natural birth, but have you been born of the Spirit? See, the Spirit is supernatural. It's not like the natural. It's got something greater than the natural has. It's supernatural because it's born of God's Spirit. He told Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The book of John. Yeah, Jesus did the miracles back then. Jesus doing the miracles still today. Yes, he turned water into wine. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He's still doing the same miracles he was doing back then. He's doing them right now. But I got to get to a place. Glory to God. I got to get to a place as a man. I got to get rid of some of the old things to get into the new things that God has for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can never get to the new and what God has for me if I'm still holding on to the old. I could never get what God wants me to get. See, if I was holding on to my baseball career and I should have been in the Hall of Fame, no. I want to win souls for the kingdom of God. Who cares about natural stuff, earthly stuff? I want to do what's great for God. That's where we got to get. What am I doing for God? Am I doing greatness for God, or am I sitting here wasting my time on all these earthly things? John 4. There's no secrets with God. The woman at the well, Jesus saw her at the well. And Jesus told the woman about her five husbands, said, the one you're living with now is not your husband. There's no secrets with God. Whatever you think, you got secrets and you got something going on and God don't know, he's sitting right there with you, looking at it. And Jesus told that woman at that well that they would drink the water from. Jesus said, that you guys drink that water from that well, you will always, always be thirsty. But he says, this living water I give you, if you drink this living water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again, guys, if you drink this living water. This living water is good. You will never, ever be thirsty again if you drink this living water. It's the word of God, the living water. So many of us don't drink it. We just pass over and take a Bible and set it on the shelf. And, oh, I went to church and I did my tradition thing and maybe I'll go next Sunday, but I don't know if my team coming on, I don't know if I can make it. Well, your team going to either win or lose, you'll see the highlights. go to church, start drinking that living water. Start committing. See, one thing we don't understand is God does not need you. God does not need me. He wants to use you. God does not need your money. See, so many of us think God needs your money. God does not need your money. God needs your heart. He needs your heart. Men, we got to bring our heart back to God. Because all this don't mean nothing here. I remember God called me 9 years ago. He says, the house is not yours. The money in the bank account is not yours. The cars are not yours. He said, I'm just loaning it to you. I was like, wow. I got it. Now he says, go and do great work. That's what he's calling us for, if we're willing to do great work. So there's no secrets when you think about that woman at the well. There's no secrets of God. God sees everything. He knows everything, sees everything. John 8. There was a woman caught in adultery. Let us stop being like the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Pharisees pointing at people's sin. We need to love each other and try to help each other. We need to start pulling each other up instead of pointing. Because see, they were pointing at our sins, and Jesus was just stooping down the sand. He was writing, and they didn't even realize who Jesus was. They was trying to trap him because of her sins and adultery. And Jesus just raised up and said to them, he who was without sin cast the first stone. From the oldest to the youngest, dropped their stones and walked away. Why? Because they all have had sin and all had fallen short. And he told the woman, because of your faith, you are well. It's your faith that make you well. It's not anything else. See, my faith made me well. Had I not got to the place of faith, I could never get well. If you don't ever get to the place of faith with God, it's the faith that's going to make you well. That woman with the blood issue in Mark 5, she had a blood issue for 12 years, and she went to doctors and paid for this and tried to get well, and she heard about Jesus. She heard Jesus was coming through the crowd, and she made her way through the crowd because of her head and her heart, and she got through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment, and it was because of her faith. She was made well immediately, just like that. Then I think about John 5. John 5 is set up about a bunch of lame people sitting at a pool in Bethesda. And the angels were stirred up the pool. And all these people had some kind of condition. And the angels were stirred up the pool. And the first one in the pool would get well. This one man kept sitting there every day. He sat there for 38 years. With a condition. How long have you been sitting? God is challenging you tonight. How long have you been sitting? He sat there for 38 years. Guess what? Jesus never asked a man about his condition, because Jesus didn't have to, because he's Jesus. He already know the condition of the man. Just like he know the condition of you. He's not asking you about your condition. He already knows it. If you're sick, if you're hurting, if you're broken, he already knows the condition of you. Jesus asked the man one thing. He didn't ask him about his condition. Jesus said to the man, do you want to be well? God is challenging some of you today and this weekend to set you free. Do you want to be well? He's the only one who can make you well. If I could just give to you, I don't get emotional a lot, but if I can give to you what he put in me, I would give it to you. But I can't give it to you. You got to come get it yourself. And it's good. There's nobody like him. He's the healer of all things. He restores you and he meets you right where you're at. And he gives you more than you deserve. He gives you more than you deserve. That's tonight. That's the call tonight. That's the move tonight. That's the call that I have for you. Those of you that may have something that you need to let go at the cross, I would challenge you tonight to stand up and rise out of your seat and meet me at the cross, because I want to pray for you. Because God wants to make you well. You don't have to stay stuck. The devil's lied to you, kept you stuck. He makes you believe that money's going to make you better. Money's not going to make you better. The only person who can make you better is Jesus himself. That's the only person that can make you better. That's you. Come to the cross. As he plays, just come. And I'm going to pray for you. Whatever it is, let go of your habits, your hang-ups, your hurts. Give it away. Give it to God right now. Thank you, Father. Give it to him. He can handle it. He loves you. No matter what. No matter what you've been through, no matter what someone has said, it's a lie. God has the last say. Some of you thinking about giving up on your marriage, come down to this altar. Don't you give up on your marriage. Don't you let the devil deceive you and make you believe that your marriage is not worth saving. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to take your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your wife. He wants to destroy everything about you. This is the day. This is the week. This weekend. It's going to be more speakers. Brad's going to speak. He's going to challenge you. This is the time, guys. Don't walk out of here the same. You don't have to walk out of here the same. You do not have to walk out of here the same. Don't allow the enemy to hold you in that seat and make you believe, oh, this stuff don't work. Yeah, this stuff works. All that other stuff don't work. That television you're watching, that cell phone you're on, that computer you're playing in, all that stuff don't work. That comes strictly from the pit of hell, from the enemy, who deceives you and makes you believe. Jesus said it in John 10:10. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. He's talking about peace, joy, wisdom, knowledge. He's talking about power. He's talking about greater things to give you. If you commit to him, he'll give you greater things. And it won't cost you nothing but your life, to lose your life, to gain life. Man, this is the greatest gift that you will receive tonight, guys. I love you, man, for coming. I love you for standing up for God. Saying, I've had enough. I'm not playing this game with the enemy no more. God is setting you free. Those that are here at the cross, there's a celebration over your life. Believe me. I know this is real because I went through this process. And I don't mean to keep you a little longer, but I just want to make sure the guys get this weekend. And don't go back, because there's nothing back there. Stop looking back. There's nothing back there. The devil's lying. He's been lying forever. He's been lying forever to us. Well, let's go to prayer. The rest of you guys are out there. Stretch your hands. You guys are here. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, come into my life. Be Lord over my life. Help me to understand how to live biblical principles. Tonight, I make a new commitment. I dedicate my life to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your love. Excuse me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray over you real quick. Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for every soul that's here tonight. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the commitment that they just made. Father, that they would come down to the altar and say, Lord, here I am. Take my brokenness. Take my habits. Take my hurts. Father, deliver them. Set them free. May they learn who you are. May they go back to learn to study the Word of God. May they learn to follow the biblical principles. Father, we lift them up to you tonight. Father, I ask that you touch them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Father, we send this petition up to you. And Father, we say thank you. We ask that you would seal it and that this will be a new day for them. And all those that sat and thought about coming, we pray for their hearts right now, Father, that this weekend is not over, that they will be touched and they will make a commitment to follow your ways. And we give you glory and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we say amen. God bless you guys, man. God bless you. Give them a hand. God bless you.